Hello, podcast listeners. Welcome to our special hour-long Earth Eats Thanksgiving special. I'm Annie Corrigan.
If Benjamin Franklin would have had his way, the turkey would have been our national bird. In a certain way, it still is at Thanksgiving time.
And you know him. He's Chef Daniel Orr. Of course, we'll be talking about turkey in today's show, in addition to six other mouth-watering dishes to spice up your holiday this year. And there'll be stories and music along the way as well. So hang tight through this extended Earth Eats episode, but put away the pencil and paper. Visit our website to print out all the recipes you hear today, eartheats.org. Welcome back to Earth Eats. I'm Annie Corrigan. Thanksgiving, the time of year when overeating is the norm, when every year a turkey gets a presidential pardon. It's the holiday that's sometimes scheduled around football games, and it's the holiday that has made famous canned cranberries, pumpkin pies, and candied sweet potatoes. I'm going to be up front with you and say that Chef Daniel Orr will not be cooking any of these dishes this hour. He'll be taking Thanksgiving in a new direction, giving you new tips and fun variations on your favorite holiday recipes. Chef, why don't you tell us what it is about Thanksgiving that you love so much?
As I get older and my belly gets bigger, Thanksgiving, with its groaning board of goodies, is moving steadily to the top of my list of favorite holidays. For the longest time, I've been a self-proclaimed 4th of July junkie. I love the patriotic flag-waving, parade-marching, 4-H fair competing, and the firework-exploding spectacle that is the nation's birthday. But after graduating from high school in Columbus, Indiana in the early 80s, and moving out east to Rhode Island for culinary school, Thanksgiving became a more cerebral holiday. Less of a sunburned adolescent frolic and more of a yearly trek to Mecca of family memories. Where 4th of July is about folks around you, Thanksgiving is about passing on the love others have shared with you in the past. History, for me, is usually best learned around the dinner table. I've learned more about my kin watching my grandma make her famous buttermilk biscuits than spending a weekend in the county courthouse looking up data in a dusty file. I used to love to watch her carefully mix the icy buttermilk into the lumpy flour and butter mixture with her crooked, misshaped fingers, a tragic souvenir from a hayloft accident during her childhood. Thanksgiving is about seeing the reality before us and overlooking it, at least for the day.
Chef Orr is sharing his grandma's biscuit recipe with us today. Let's go to the kitchen.
A lot of people get nervous whenever they bake, especially yeast breads and raised rolls. But you got to start somewhere, and why not with biscuits or pancakes? So the flour's chilled. I've got these nice pea-sized pieces of butter. Sometimes I even put them in the freezer just to make sure they're really nice and ice cold. Okay, we're going to add our salt, baking soda, baking powder, and sugar. And the recipe is as simple as that. Now what we're going to do is just kind of mix all those ingredients together. And then I'm going to take my biscuit cutter and just start cutting up those pieces of butter until it becomes almost like a coarse cornmeal. And the reason you want the butter coarse is it's actually going to melt and steam, and that's going to give some part of your rise to your biscuits, so they're nice, light, and fluffy. So once we have this fairly coarsely cut up, and there's still some nice big chunks of butter in there, we're going to add our buttermilk. If you don't have buttermilk, you can take regular milk and just add about a tablespoon of vinegar per cup, and that will instantly turn your milk into buttermilk. I'm going to add about 3/4 of the milk in, and then I'm just going to kind of toss the mixture together. And you're just going to mix it enough to bring the dough together. You don't want to overmix it. You don't want to heat the dough up. Okay, and that's about a perfect dough. You can see the butter chunks still inside. You haven't overworked it. We're going to put it down on the counter with a little bit of flour. Pat it out till it's about the same thickness as your dough cutter. You don't want to twist your cutter because what that will do is it will break up your little layers of butter that we spoke about earlier.
So when you look at the biscuit, you should see those nice layers of butter on the inside. And then we'll have some wonderful biscuits to have our apple butter on.
Apple butter. That's a recipe we'll be sharing with you in the coming weeks here at Earth Eats. Follow us online at eartheats.org. Ah, and I think the biscuits are ready.
All right, and there they are. Aren't they beautiful?
From biscuits now, we go to vegetables. Here's something different to try if you're sick of the old green bean casserole or side salad. A play on the idea of turkey for our vegetarian friends.
Any Thanksgiving dinner is all about turkey, at least in most households. But there are a lot of us that really want to do vegetarian dishes or vegan dishes. And so I created something special for all you folks out there. They're stuffed Turkish vegetables, and they're a lot of fun. You can really use whatever is available in the market. So try to find out what's local. You can use acorn squash. Today I'm going to be using some tomatoes, some eggplant, onions, some Swiss chard leaves, and even some poblano peppers. And we are going to add some tofu, which will give you a nice protein source for your stuffed vegetables. All right, so first off, you select your vegetables, and what I've done is I've scooped them out and made little cups out of them. So we have these cute little tomato cups, eggplant cups. I used white eggplant. You can use zucchini. You could use whatever. I've got some onions here. And I've kept that filling, you know, that I scooped out. So I've got some tomatoes here, the little pulp from the inside. I've got the stems of the Swiss chard. We're just going to throw that in a bowl. Okay, we've got our diced tofu, diced tomatoes. Okay, and you can see there's a little bit of liquid in here from the tofu and from the tomatoes. So we're going to thicken that up with some breadcrumbs. But before we do that, we're going to add just a couple other items. These are kind of what give it the Turkish feel. We've got some raisins. We have some really nice pine nuts. Okay, and then we've got our seasonings. We've got about a teaspoon of garlic, teaspoon of lemon zest. We've got some red pepper flakes, cracked black pepper, and some salt. Okay, finally, we're just going to add our breadcrumbs to absorb any excess moisture. I'm going to also add a little bit of extra virgin olive oil, and that's going to give it a little richness and kind of nice luxurious mouthfeel to the dish, as well as that great extra virgin olive oil flavor. And we're just going to finish it up with a little grated parm, and I'm going to reserve a little Parmesan cheese to sprinkle on the top so it gets that nice crusty, crunchy texture on the top of the vegetables. Now I'm just going to stuff these. So just take little handfuls and really cram it down into the different vegetables. Here's those nice big poblanos, kind of like a chili relleno almost once you fill these up.
And you don't really think of spicy for Thanksgiving, so this might be a nice change for some people to get some spice in their holiday meal.
Absolutely, and you know, this would be great with a bottle of rosé, and a lot of people like rosé with turkey, so that really goes well together for everybody who's sitting around the table. Okay, and the vegetables, I've pre-seasoned them already with a little bit of salt and pepper. You always want to season at every stage of your preparation. All right, so I've got these down on a lightly greased cookie sheet. And then we're going to add just a little bit of water on the bottom of the pan. And what that will do is keep it from burning and sticking. And slightly steam the vegetables as they bake. So let me grab just a little water.
As he's doing that, I'll tell you to cook your Turkish vegetables in a 350-degree oven for 15 to 20 minutes or so. But don't take my word for it. Check out the complete recipe with all the proportions and timings on our website, eartheats.org. Now, I'm not a vegetarian, but looking at this, I could be convinced.
Wow. Very good.
Good, right?
Oh, my goodness. Put the turkey away. We don't need it.
Now, let's not get too hasty there. Chef's Turkey 101 cooking class is coming up in the second portion of our show. You'll talk about everything from brining to presenting the bird, so do stay with us for that. We're cooking food and telling stories here on Earth Eats Thanksgiving Special, and we have some musicians helping us tell stories today as well. Let's hear from Carrie Newcomer. This is Long Christmas Dinner.
made the long table for his bride June when the first child was born. And they needed more room. Cal was one of four sons, and there was too little farm. And the railroad had work, so they moved into town. First came Emmett and Claire, William and Grace. Around the long table they all took their place. Every year they would gather, sing carols and hymns, with canned peaches and shortcake and four wide grins. But it feels like it's been one long Christmas dinner, one unending prayer, one unbroken line, singing, "Be thou my vision by day or by night." All is calm and all is bright. Eating strawberry jam from our victory garden, June kept giving Emmett more food than he wanted, as if she could fill him with enough food and faith to last him through Europe and bring him home safe. Clara moved back at Christmas with her two children when her husband ran off with a girl who was willing. When Grace's small daughter offered up her shortcake, Clara leaned on Will's shoulder and covered her face. But it feels like it's been one long Christmas dinner, one unending prayer, one unbroken line, singing, "Be thou my vision by day or by night." All is calm and all is bright. Long ago Emmett came home, now he carves the ham, though since then he's needed a lake Grace to stand. He and Grace visit often, help Mom with yard work, who still can't believe what they're wearing to church. Cousin Nance in Chicago, and she stayed good friends with Cousin Rose, who's a painter and lives in South Bend. And William's boy Michael is a young handsome rogue cruising town with an 8-track up Abbey Road. But it feels like it's been one long Christmas dinner, one unending prayer, one unbroken line, singing, "Be thou my vision by day or by night." All is calm and all is bright. There have been so many joys, so many cradles, but there was one who spent only 1 year at the table. It must have been Grandma who gathered her close so she'd have no fear when they both passed across. So put out the canned peaches in honor of June and for Michael's grown daughter who's coming home soon. For all that we've lost, what we haven't found yet, all who come to the table and clasp hands around. And it feels like it's been one long Christmas dinner, one unending prayer, one unbroken line, singing, "Be thou my vision by day or by night." All is calm and all is bright.
Born in Michigan, but raised in Elkhart, Indiana, Carrie Newcomer, performing Long Christmas Dinner. Back to the kitchen now. Time for another starter dish, and yet another vegetarian-friendly dish.
Are you ready to make some soup?
Let's do it.
We're going to do a yellow lentil soup today, and in the recipe, it does call for some stock, but you could just as easily use water. So if you want to make it vegetarian, you can use water. If you want to make it vegan, you don't have to put the sour cream or yogurt in at the end if you don't want to. A lot of times during the holidays, you have people that have a shellfish allergy, a gluten allergy, this, that. You know, always think about that ahead of time. And if you can develop a menu that everybody can eat, it makes it great because you don't have to run around looking for something special for everybody. All right, so we're going to get started by adding the extra virgin olive oil to our pot and quickly following it with the chopped garlic. Okay, and you're looking for that kind of roasty, toasty aroma to come through. The garlic will just start to turn a little bit brown, and that's when you want to have your other vegetables ready because you don't want that garlic to burn or it will get bitter. All right, so we've got our onions. You know, I don't know if everyone can afford it in their household, but it's always great to have one piece of equipment, and that's called a sous chef. All right, so
you've got like six or seven of those around here.
Yeah, we've got quite a few around here. So it makes it a lot easier. You can just start, you know, you arrive and everything's ready for you.
You know, you've got a young niece or nephew wandering around. Put them to work, right?
Absolutely. All right, we're just going to stir those around, coat them with that oil and garlic mixture. Okay, we're going to toss in the carrots, tomatoes. Okay, and then we've got our red lentils. Lentil actually comes from the word lens, and these look like little eye lenses.
Well, with the other vegetarian dish, you added tofu. With this, you're adding lentils. You're making sure that the vegetarian people at the table have protein. That's important.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of vegetarians, they need to combine foods to get a perfect protein. So when you add some corn with beans, you get a perfect protein, and that you can see, you know, go back and look at Mexican cuisine. A lot of it's based on corn and beans, and that's how they provide their perfect protein. Okay, I'm adding some water.
Oh, look at that soup.
You see all those nice veggies in there. We're going to bring that to a boil. The other things that you could add to this, if at this point, if you'd like, you could throw in a bay leaf. At the end of the growing season, which Thanksgiving kind of celebrates, usually there's some sage around, some rosemary. So use some of those kind of late autumn herbs in your cooking. You know, use the recipe as a guideline, but don't act like you're reading the Bible. All right, I'm going to finish by adding a little bit of the chili powder and then some salt. We're going to cover this, bring it to a boil, and let it simmer for 20 minutes. And you got soup. And then if you'd like, if you want to make it into a bisque, then that's when you puree it. And that's going to give you a nice, rich viscosity, nice mouthfeel. Where, you know, usually people think of bisque having a lot of cream in them, some bacon in it. So we're kind of replicating the mouthfeel without putting all those extra calories and meat products in it.
Vegetarian-friendly dishes that even the most staunch meat eater would like.
And if you have to, you could always put a little bowl of bacon out there. People could sprinkle some bacon. They could put some sour cream on top of it when it's done. They could throw some crab meat in this, which would be great. Some shrimp. You know, there's lots of ways that you can dress this up. And it also freezes really well. So if you make a big batch, you can freeze it in quart containers and then pull it out through New Year's Day. And you'll have a quick, entertaining menu.
With this dish, and really with your cooking in general, don't be afraid to add whatever spices you particularly prefer. Chef Orr suggested ginger, cumin, or fennel seeds for the lentil soup. You know, just be creative. And speaking of spices, a tip from the chef. If your spices are over 6 months old, it's time to replace them. And, you know, no time like the holidays to break in some fresh new spices.
Doom. Doon, 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 doon.
Sherry. Darling, you're my sweet potato of love.
Coming up, turkey, pumpkin, darling, and persimmons. Oh, my. You're listening to Earth Eats Thanksgiving Special from WFIU Public Media. Stay with us.
Darling, you're my sweet potato of love. Darling, you're my artichoke of love. Darling, you're my artichoke of love. Peel me off, leaf by leaf. Use your fingers, use your teeth. Darling, you're my artichoke of love. Darling, you're my ice cream cone.
Welcome back to Earth Eats Thanksgiving Special. I'm Annie Corrigan. I spent my childhood Thanksgivings in Northwest Ohio. Friends from town would join us for the meal. We'd all take a long, slow walk after dinner. Then we'd cut the pies and play board games all night. For me, it's memories like this that set Thanksgiving apart from other holidays. For Chef Daniel Orr, Princeton, Indiana, is the place where he spent a number of his Thanksgivings growing up. He has memories of going to the circus with his mother's family and goofing off with his two brothers. But his father's family, well, perhaps it was during those Thanksgivings where the budding chef first learned some of his tricks.
Grandma Orr always had a smile on her face and something fresh from her garden for us to eat. It's amazing to think back on that woman's life now. The boat the Orrs had been sailing was barely afloat for many of those years. Grandma was struggling with depression and stress, three boys in World War II, and breast cancer. Grandma was a writer, but burned up most of her cherished scripts as an act of defiance to the disease that was eating her up. Thanksgiving spent with the Orrs were usually centered around the stuffing. Grandma would get up early in the morning to create a haggis-like filling of oatmeal, liver, gizzards, and herbs. In the front neck cavity of the roast, a separate stuffing of oysters and cubed bread was carefully caressed into the void. The table was full of garden-to-table dishes, even during a time when most families were saddling up to a groaning board of green bean casserole sprinkled with a canister of crispy onions swimming in a gelatinous mushroom glaze.
Back to the kitchen we go. It's turkey time. It wouldn't be Thanksgiving without a big old bird. Generally turkey.
Right. Well, you know, the earliest Thanksgiving, first Thanksgiving, was spent with wild turkey, but also venison and wild boar and lots of other different meats, as well as the bounty of the sea, because they were just living right on the East Coast. But, I mean, we really love the turkey. It's kind of the emblem of Thanksgiving, and if Benjamin Franklin would have had his way, the turkey would have been our national bird. In a certain way, it still is at Thanksgiving time. So what we've done is we've roasted a bird. I just want to tell you a little bit about it. I mean, a lot of people have had those dry turkey breasts. Got to put tons of gravy on it just to make it slide down. So what we do here at the restaurant is we brine the bird. And brining is a way of combining liquid, sugar, and salt, and then soaking the bird, and it absorbs that moisture. It's much less likely to get dry. But the main thing is not to overcook the bird. You know, a lot of turkeys come with a little thermometer right inside there, but I think that a lot of times when you use those, it actually overcooks the little bird. So the main thing is to get a safe temperature, which is 165, and you always want to take that temperature right at the thigh, at the part that takes the longest to cook. So you take a self-read thermometer, and you just kind of plunge it into that deepest part right by the bone into the thigh. You take it out of the oven around 155, and it will carry over cook, which means that the temperature that is on the outside of the bird is going to continue to penetrate into the center of the bird.
All that meat and no potato just ain't right like green tomato. Yeah, I'm waiting, palpitating, with all that meat and no potato.
There are other ways that you can tell if your bird's cooked. You can jiggle the leg and it should move freely. And you can also drain the juices. If you pick the bird up and drain the juice from the cavity out, it should run clear. Okay, and you see those nice clear juices. Man, that smells good. The other thing that a lot of people do is they stuff the bird, but what that does is actually makes it take a lot longer to cook, and you're much more likely to have a dry breast that way. What I always like to do is to cook the stuffing on the side in a nice casserole dish. It gets that nice crust on top, and I think it's even more delectable that way. But if you must, what I suggest you do is to stuff the front cavity instead of the back cavity. What I do here, as you can see, we've got some nice bay leaves, fresh bay leaves, rosemary, thyme, and we've seasoned the interior of the bird as well. And so that's Turkey 101 for Thanksgiving.
Easy enough. Check out photos of this beautiful bird and see a list of chef's turkey tips on our website, eartheats.org.
All right, so now we're going to carve the turkey. And another thing that a lot of people are intimidated by, but what I suggest you do is you make sure you have real sharp knives. So I'm running my boning knife on the steel. And then what you can do is you can partially bone the turkey in the kitchen. So then at the table, it's very, very easy to slice. So what we're going to do first is remove the wings, take off the legs. Okay, next we're going to take off the two breasts. So we're going to go right down to the wishbone. What you always want to do whenever you're carving anything, if it has a bone, is to get as close to that bone as you can. Always run your knife against the bone. Don't cut into the flesh. And always save that skin, you know. A lot of people fight over the skin.
Well, that's the best part. Yeah, is the best part.
Yeah. Hopefully that's some Thanksgiving reservations coming in on the phone. One of the favorite parts for a chef is the oyster. And the oyster is right below that thigh joint. And it comes off in a little oyster-like ball. And Annie, I'm going to give you a little taste of that.
Oh, my goodness. I've never tasted anything like that before.
Isn't that awesome?
Wow.
Well, it's that brine. Chef Bob made the brine. Bob, what else did you put in the brine?
In the brine, we have sorghum, sugar, salt, water. We've got citrus, orange, lemons, limes, and then a myriad of spices, cloves, allspice, bay leaves, oregano.
Everything.
A little bit of everything. We've got some of Chef Daniel's spice blends in there, also the new regime.
My turkey from my childhood was never that juicy.
Yeah.
When you're buying a turkey, you want to get something that is is local if possible. Hopefully been free range. It's been able to run around a little bit, enjoy its life.
And happy birds taste better. They just do.
Yep, yep. You see, and we're going to show you a little presentation here. All right, so I've put a little bit of flour and kale down. And I'm just going to kind of rebuild this bird a little bit. We've got the leg and the thigh. You could decorate this with some lemons, some cranberries, oranges. Just make it really, really pretty. And that's a new presentation for a turkey that everyone can do, and it makes it much easier at the table.
The master of the brine was Chef Bob Atkins. He says he brined the bird for 3 days, and that's how it kept all those wonderful juices. He's taking over the kitchen next with a new-look pumpkin recipe. But before we get away from the turkey, we can't forget to mention the gravy, one of my favorite parts of any Thanksgiving meal.
All right, well, one of the things that when you get your turkey, you're going to find this little mystery package on the inside called giblets. So what you want to do is save those, and you're going to make your gravy out of them. So what I like to do is to take the neck and take the gizzards. I will boil those until the gizzards are tender, and that takes a while. It takes maybe an hour, hour and a half. I like to cook my turkey with liquid in the pan because it keeps it moist, almost as steaming while it roasts. So you're making a really nice turkey sauce right in the bottom of the pan. Once you take your turkey out, you're going to let it rest for about a half an hour before you serve it. And resting a turkey will mean that the juices won't just run out when you start carving it. While the bird's resting, you take that pan with those juice and maybe you've thrown in some carrots and some onions and garlic and all that stuff. Bring that to a boil and add your the liquid from the neck and the gizzards. And then you need to thicken that. And what we do in a restaurant is we use roux. Roux is half flour, half butter, and you cook that down for 15, 20 minutes until it starts to turn a little nutty, a little brown. And then you thicken that little by little. You add that to your roasting pan with that liquid, and basically that's gravy. Then you can strain it out. If you want to add a little bit of cream to it to make it a little more luxurious, you can do that. Sometimes it's nice to put a couple drops of truffle oil in there if you want to. Another way you could do it, if you wanted to have more of a kind of an Italian-style gravy, you could add some diced tomatoes, some black olives, and some fresh basil, and that will take it in a completely different direction. So you can really kind of mix it up a little bit with your gravy. You don't have to stick to tradition.
Our feast is shaping up bit by bit. Bread, veggies, soup, the turkey. And don't worry, we haven't forgotten about the sweet portion of the meal, but you will have to wait until the very end for Chef's persimmon pudding. It's well worth the wait, though, I promise. Let's cue up some after-turkey music, shall we? Here's Indiana native Krista Detour singing Dinner with Chantel.
Paris wasn't lit the way I thought it would be lit. A postcard view, but no sparkle in the wine. Love to compare was just a city, another city, and paper falls out of the air. Newspaper out, a plane car, a morning magazine, a candy wrapper, crust of bread gone stale, an apple underneath the rail. Pavement grayer still, no shadow dancing upon it. And Paris wasn't lit the way it should be. Paris wasn't wine and cheese, no pretty fleur-de-lis. A sudden breeze, the leaves fell to the street, and down among the ashes, cold cocoa van, an old baguette left on an empty bed. A busy city, oh may we and children hide beneath the thread. A stolen beer shared on a bed, the tangled hair, a cigarette is burning low. A secret captain, empty bellies in the doorways, hiding out like pebbles left upon the shore, spit from the sea. And Paris wasn't wine and she.
Krista Detour with her smooth delivery singing Dinner with Chantel. That's from her album, Cover Their Eyes.
You guys ready for pumpkin?
Heck yeah!
We're here today at Earth Eats to give pumpkin a chance to redefine itself. No more typecasting as a dessert food, I say. Let's do something different.
Well, a lot of people, they get burnt out on pumpkins around Halloween time, but usually by Thanksgiving time you're ready for a couple more pumpkin dishes. Pumpkin pie, of course, is a classic. A lot of people don't know that you don't need to cook the heck out of pumpkin and puree it and, you know, mash it and cover it up with a lot of spices. We're going to do a nice sautéed vegetable. So here you go, Chef Bob.
Hi-oh! You say you want it? Well, come and get it!
Okay, Bob Atkins, I'm chef de cuisine under Chef Daniel, and today, as he has already alluded to, we are going to slice this big boy up. The recipe that we have calls for a 2-pound French variety. You can use a lot of different pumpkins. There's big ones, small ones, gray ones, green ones, you know, it's not just the jack-o'-lantern pumpkins that you have. First of all, we gotta tackle this beast. I'm gonna need a bigger knife for that. Here.
Chef Bob, you're scaring me a little bit with that.
Shouldn't be scared of your knives. So we've got our pumpkin open. What we're going to do is we're going to take out the pith and the seeds here in the middle.
Oh, look at those gorgeous seeds.
Oh, yeah. We'll save those and we can toast those up, too, to finish this dish. I'm just taking off the outer skin really quick. Make sure you get all the inside out here so that you've just got the nice flesh to it. And we'll move the rest of this monster off the side. Looks like pumpkin murder in here right now. Cut the pumpkin into thin strips, about maybe a quarter inch. Keep them nice and even so they cook evenly. And while I was doing this, I had my big, heavy cast iron pan heating up. Nothing reminds me more of Thanksgiving than my mother breaking out the cast iron for all of her cooking needs. And it only got out so often. So we've got our pumpkin here. We're going to take some nice raw sugar. We're going to take a little au poivre. If you don't have the au poivre, you can use some freshly cracked pepper. Nice, fresh sea salt all in there. We're going to take a little bit of olive oil. We're going to mix the spices up. And then we're going to use that. It's kind of a thick paste almost. We're going to toss the pumpkin slices with this mixture. All right, so it's coated really nice and evenly. We're going to just place them right into our pan here. We're going to cook these just long enough to caramelize on each side, and because we've only cut them about a quarter inch thick, they won't take more than a couple minutes on each side.
Now, if you're going to love me, come on, be my tutti frutti, yeah. I don't want that just turtle dove me stuff. I got to get myself some booty, yeah.
All right, so they're pretty much finished here. While I'm getting ready to plate the sauteed pumpkin slices, I'm going to take some of these great green pumpkin seeds. These are grown specifically for the seeds. They're not as fibrous as, say, the seeds you'd get out of a typical jack-o'-lantern. So we're just going to put these into a pan, just keep moving them, and it'll take about 30 seconds, 45 seconds. You're going to have nice toasted pumpkin seeds to serve with this dish. All right, so we got some nice toasted seeds here. You can really smell that toastiness. It's almost nutty. So we're going to take a little bit of extra virgin olive oil and just drizzle over the pumpkin. We're going to take this lemon here and try to catch all the seeds. Just give it a nice drizzle there. And then you get a very nice, healthy alternative to utilizing the pumpkin.
Wow.
Yeah, that stays crunchy. It's not what you expect from pumpkin because everybody eats it pureed or in a custard or in a soup, but it's also great just as a sautéed vegetable.
And this is a fantastic way to mix it up. If you do the same thing every year, try this. It's a little something different. You got to go to the website to check out the recipe for this. So easy, so easy. Eartheats.org. I can say that now that my mouth isn't full of piping hot pumpkin. All of the recipes from this show are listed on our website, along with photos of Chef Orr cooking each dish. So do make sure to check that out online. 2 courses to go before the feast is complete. Do stay with us for more music, more stories, and of course, more food. This is Earth Eats Thanksgiving Special. We're so
so close to eating this meal. We are so close. You're making the quinoa for us, and then we're going to eat.
Yeah, well, I think that something that you need to do is really plan out your menu. And what you can do is make a list of dishes that you want to make and figure out how long it's going to take you so you don't get caught with your apron down at mealtime. But what you want to do is to do as much in advance as possible. So when your guests arrive, all you should be doing is pulling things out of the oven. I'm going to get a pot on, so just bear with me for a second.
Hello again. I'm Annie Corrigan. He's Chef Daniel Orr, and we're bringing you the Thanksgiving special from Earth Eats. Quinoa, that's what's up next. It's a grain, first grown in the Andes. And Chef said that it was the source of protein in the ancient Americas, even before corn was. So there's a little history lesson to make the dish taste that much better.
It's important whenever you're cooking something to always preheat your pan on the fire. A lot of people, they'll just throw a pan on and they'll try to start cooking, and it's inevitably going to stick. So you want to preheat your pan, let it get nice and hot, and then you're going to add your oil. You don't want to add your oil to a cold pan either. So keep that tip in your back pocket. Okay, we're going to do, one of my favorite things. It's always adding a bunch of garlic. Okay, once that's gotten nice and toasty, we're going to add some thinly sliced onions.
Garlic and onions, you better love your family.
Yeah. But to me, when you go into a home and you smell slow-cooking onions, I mean, it just smells like home. Okay, and we're going to let these get all caramelized and brown. And what that does is it's the natural sugars in the onions. When you sweat them, that moisture comes out, and those sugars get into the pan. They start to caramelize, just if you were caramelizing sugar. And that's what you want. That's what you're trying to build in this dish, is that layer of sweetness for the quinoa. You can see that the moisture has cooked out of these, and now they're starting to dry out. You start hearing that sizzle. A lot of people don't know that you need to cook with all of your senses. So be aware. Don't have more than one glass of wine while you're cooking, because then you're headed for disaster.
Yeah, and if you're doing all this cooking, you get the first glass of wine.
Well, that's what we call the cooking wine.
All right. There's another tip for you.
The chef always has to have the cooking wine and always gets to eat the oysters out of the back of the turkey. Those should never even hit the dining room. All right, we're getting close. But you can't rush good food. All right, so we're going to wait another 5 minutes.
While we're waiting, let's hear some music. Carrie Newcomer. She'll be joined by some youngsters in this selection called Fill Me Up.
What's enough? Fill me up. What's enough? A snow coat, a raincoat too, fiery red shirt, nice dry shoes. Fill me up. What's enough? Fill me up. What's enough?
chicken soup. Mom and Dad, hot steamy chocolate,
dogs and cats.
Fill me up.
What's enough?
Fill me up.
What's enough?
Cover chairs, wallpaper clouds, clear windows, open doors, it's an everything I need house. Clear windows, open doors, it's an everything I need house.
Fill me up.
What's enough?
Fill me up.
What's enough?
Fill Me Up, a songwriting project with Carrie Newcomer and Beth Lodge Rigel. It featured students from the Clear Creek Elementary School in Bloomington, Indiana.
Okay, we're back. You can see now that we've got this really nice caramelization in the pan. The onions are starting to brown. Okay, we're going to add the quinoa. Okay, and then we're going to add some water. And you can always add more liquid, but you can't take it out very easily once it's in there. So err on putting too little in, and then you can always add more if it's needed. And the way you'll know it's needed is by taste. What you want to do, let this cook for 10, 15 minutes, and then take a spoon and dip it in there. The quinoa, you shouldn't have that starchiness, so it should almost be like a cooked pasta. So we're going to add the remaining seasonings. And there it is. That's that quinoa, one of the oldest grains in the Americas.
Absolutely. Oh, wow.
Again, another great source of protein as well. So.
So really, you don't need the big bird. If you don't want it, you don't need it.
Don't need it. You can have a picture of it.
Ladies, the minutes will soon be read today.
Biscuits, Turkish vegetables, lentil soup, turkey, sautéed pumpkin, quinoa. I hope you saved room for the sweet ending to our feast, persimmon pudding. This dessert is a great way to satisfy your sweet tooth while celebrating the flavors of the season. It also includes an orange rum sauce that you can use on other sweet dishes. Get both recipes on our website, eartheats.org. Chef Orr, show us how it's done.
Okay, we're going to make a standard egg custard mix. 4 eggs, add the sugar, cream, and then our flavorings. We have, again, as you've heard me say before, I like to put a little bit of salt and pepper into everything, a little bit of vanilla extract, another one of my favorites, lemon zest, and then I'm going to add some sorghum to this. Now, sorghum is very popular in the Midwest. It is something like a cane molasses. Okay, we're just going to whisk all that together. Okay, I'm now going to add the persimmon puree. Finally, I'm going to add some white raisins and then the bread. Now, I like to use a good baguette. It'll remain a little bit chunky as the bread pudding cooks. Okay, you're going to let that sit for about 10 minutes while you prepare your baking dishes. Now, anytime you have a custard mixture, you always want to bake it in a water bath. The custard will just cook slower. It won't separate, the eggs and the cream won't break. Okay, next we'll go to the stove and we'll make the orange rum sauce.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the fram sauce with the awesome fee, with Shafafa on the side.
Okay, and this is a wonderful sauce, very easy to make. Some orange juice, brown sugar, fresh ginger, a little bit of vanilla extract. We're going to bring that to a boil. Okay, and then once this is boiled, we're going to add the rum and the slurry. Now, a slurry is where you take some water and some cornstarch, and that will be our thickener for this sauce. And I'm going to add the rum here. And what you want to do is you want to get the flavor of the rum without a whole lot of the alcohol. You may be serving this to kids or people that don't really like strong alcohol. So what we're going to do is let a little bit of that alcohol burn off. Okay, we're going to stir in that slurry. But you'll see this as soon as it comes back to a boil. It's going to begin to thicken this. You don't want this a real gloopy sauce. You just want it thick enough to kind of glaze your bread pudding. To finish it, we're going to add about 2 tablespoons of butter. And that's just going to enrich it a little bit. So you can keep this sauce in your recipe file separate from the bread pudding and use it on a lot of different desserts.
A fella really got to eat, and a fella should eat right.
All right, so now that the bread puddings are finished, nicely caramelized on top, a little bit of crunchy, we'll put them on our presentation plate. We'll take some nice homemade vanilla ice cream. We're going to spoon over a little bit of that nice orange ginger rum sauce. And that's our persimmon bread pudding.
Way to please serve my.
Consider this as a pie substitute for your holiday meals this year. It's a refreshing way to end the feast for sure.
With shelfafa on the side.
Well, we've reached the end of our Thanksgiving meal. Don't forget that you can find all the recipes along with photos from today's feast on our website, eartheats.org.
Support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop. Earth Eats is a production of WFIU Public Media.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I'm Annie Corrigan.
And I'm Chef Danny Lohr. We'll see you next time.